and welcome back to Deja Vu, the show where we talk about films and their lasting impacts. I'm Therese Kinnearns.
And I'm Haley Howgate.
And today, we will be talking about Celine Song's 2023 directorial debut film, Past Lives.
Yes.
So, for some backstory on this film, Celine Song is a Korean-Canadian writer-director who based Past Lives partially on her own life. Mm-hmm. She, like Nora in the film, moved to Canada from Korea when she was 12 years old.
Yeah, she was originally a playwright, which I feel like is interesting to think about, like, people who kind of start in theater and then move into, like, more film. So she went to Columbia, for playwriting. Not a big deal at all. In 2019, her play Endlings premiered, which was also sort of, like, semi-related to her own life. It was basically about this, like, New York playwright who was Korean-American and ends up meeting, like, these three women who were, like divers or something. I don't know. It was a very interesting thing. And that was successful, but then that had to be shut down because of the pandemic. And during that time is when she kind of was like, I think I want to move into more, like, film. And she describes, like, that transition as being, like, a breakup and, like, a breakup with theater, which I think is so interesting.
That's how I feel from high school. I broke up with theater.
I know. It's sad.
It is kind of sad.
And she was saying that, like, she kind of brought those, like, breakup feelings that she had with, like, theater and also, like, the feelings she has about living in New York and, like, those and put it into this script in terms of, like, the relationships between people, which I think is really interesting how she like took from like other facets of life to then like inform the relationships between like humans in the script, which I think is really telling in the writing.
It is. And also I think it's really telling that she was a playwright just in general, because I feel like this movie is a play.
Yes, it is.
In a way.
It reads like one for sure.
It reads like a play. It's visually... It would translate really well to stage.
I wouldn't like even be surprised if there was like a stage adaptation of it, like it
in the works or in someone's mind.
Yes, in the brain.
In the brain, I would watch it. I would sit. I would be sat. I would be sat, and my hands would be crossed in my lap.
I'd be in the front row. Actually, I would be in like the third row because I don't like the front row. I don't want to like be craning
my neck. Because then you're like looking up, and like, is that really luxurious?
No.
Not really.
But, yeah, she said in an interview with Vanity Fair that this film is unbelievably personal to me, of course, in the conception of it, but it is unbelievably personal to me because it is a discovery for me as an artist, and this is what I've always been meant to do. I just feel at home here. And, again, I think that really comes through in the script, in the movie, and while we're watching it, because it just feels so authentic and so personal. And, like, you really are, like, there with this character and going through her experience with, like, immigration and assimilating to, like, a new life, but also having a life in the past. Like, it all just feels very genuine.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a pattern we've been seeing with, like, all the movies that we've talked about so far this semester, is, like, these women who are very much pulling from their own experiences. And I was wondering if, like, you think that, like, this pulling from experience, like, if that is something that is specifically, like, female in some way, or if this is just, like, kind of, like, what it is to be a screenwriter, or if being, like, a woman kind of, like, emphasizes this personal experience and how it comes through in scripts. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what's the question?
Like, do you think that, like, the way that personal experience comes through in these scripts is a pattern that we're seeing because they are women, or is that just, like, part of being a screenwriter?
Oh, I don't know. Because, honestly, I think that I feel like it would be unfair to say that scripts written by men are flat. Yes. However, what I'm about to say might shock you.
Men can write too. It's true.
And what I'm about to say might shock you, and that is, I feel like that when you are raised and socialized as a woman,
mm-hmm.
you are taught how to so clearly, like, speak for yourself.
Yeah.
At least I was, because, like, you, because when people speak for you, it will be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that you are able to get all of your ideas out before someone cuts you off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that really does come through in writing,
mm-hmm.
because I've read a lot of scripts by men, a lot of amazing scripts by men. I've read a lot of terrible scripts by men.
Yes.
And sometimes the action is, like, one word.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are not fully fleshed out because they don't need to be, because the point isn't the emotion. The point is, like, what's going on.
Yeah, like, the content, like, the action of it all.
Yeah, like, what's going on, not, like, why is it going on.
Yes.
And I feel like, in my experience, that women are more likely to write the emotion not just subtextually, mm-hmm. but, like, into the script, and it breathes with the script, and you can, like, really feel it.
Yeah.
And, like, all three of these films that we've done so far, mm-hmm. are pretty much, like, different.
Yeah.
Pretty different. I would compare this one to When Harry Met... I call this one a sad When Harry Met Sally. Yes,
for sure.
It's a sad...
They got that walk and talk thing going.
Yeah, we love a good walk and talk movie. We love a good walk and talk. but, like, they're all very different, but they have that same touch of... They're so intrinsically linked with the emotions that are written into it.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel them. And yeah. I feel them so deeply, especially this movie. I feel emotion so deeply.
Yeah. And I feel like that, like, one of the, like, overarching things that I feel like we've talked about with this, like, theme that we have is the way that, like, women are able to, like, write about an experience that then other people can relate so much to because it's coming from that point of view and that perspective.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yes, all screenwriters write from personal experience, but when it's a woman writing about her own personal experience that other women then can relate to, that's when, like, you have such an effective film.
Yeah.
And, like, meaningful film. Which this is.
This is. Oh, my God. Yeah. And like, I was thinking when I was writing, like, our notes for today, like, I was like, well, what happens in this movie?
Yeah.
Like, what actions happen in this movie? Not in, like, a bad way, just, like, in a recounting way.
Right.
And it's, like, it's so conversational, but that does not make it devoid of...
like, excitement?
Excitement, yeah. Or, like, action.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll watch talking movies by men, and they literally are just talking movies.
Yeah.
Like, if I have one more man recommend to me the movie Clerks, I'm gonna shoot someone.
Never even heard of that? No one recommend me that movie.
Listeners on the pod, do you know the movie Clerks?
Raise your hand.
If you're a man, have you seen it, and would you recommend it to me? Please stop. It's basically, it's
if
like,
your answer is yes, please no.
Please, no. But, like, so many men I talk to recommend me that movie because I say that I like slice of life movies.
Right.
But it's literally just two dudes who work at a store.
Yeah.
And, like, I think the store gets robbed at the end. And that's literally all that happens. And it's in black and white because, of course, it is.
Because as like, soon as it's black and white, it's so elevated.
It's so edgy. You don't even understand Clerks. Like,
you don't even understand the way the black and white changes everything. No.
I don't know. Every single time a man at this here university tells me that they want to shoot their thesis film in black and white, part of me dies.
Yeah.
Part of me dies like Voldemort with his foot, like, with his like what is it called, like Horcruxes. I make a new Horcrux every time a man shoots his thesis in black and white.
God. I'm just thinking about movies that men recommend now. I do think there is something to be said, though, that, like maybe men watch movies like Clerk and they, like, feel a sense of connection to it because they are connected to that. Like, okay, that's just fine. I'm going to watch Past Lives, though, and feel connected to that.
Yeah. This is, like, how when – this isn't a movie. This is a TV show. Do you – have you seen Normal People? I bet you have. Yes. I bet you have.
Five times over.
Yes. It's so good. I used to recommend, like, that as a TV show to everyone, like, men and women alike, right?
Yes.
And men would never get through the show. They would never get through it. Part of the reason was because there's so much sex in it, which there is so much sex in it.
Definitely.
That, like, yeah, you're not prepared for how much sex is in it. And
no,
then,
truly not. There's a lot.
It's a lot. Yes. It's truly a lot.
They just need to get to Connell's, like, therapy session, and then they're gonna, like, learn so much.
Right. They, men just need to watch a man in therapy, which is why men like The Sopranos, but, like, they don't like The Sopranos for the reason that men should like The Sopranos.
No. Men need to stop watching The Sopranos and then and just go to a therapy session themselves.
Men go to therapy challenge. Honestly, this movie, too, to bring it back, men go to therapy in this movie as well.
Yes.
The men in this movie should also go to therapy.
The men in this movie need to do that. Because, wow, there's There's a lot of emotions. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be the husband in this, like, situation.
Oh, my God. I was going to talk about this later, like, when we go into, like, I want to go into, like, cinematography and all this.
Yeah.
But the scene where they're at the bar and she's translating everything he says to Hyesung, but doesn't translate anything back from Korean for
Arthur
her husband, to Arthur, and Arthur's just sitting there and he's like, and then like the cinematography is just beautiful and it just cuts him out of the scene. Ugh. They just cut him out of the frame.
Because he's not there.
Because he's not
like,
there.
I'm so sorry. He's
and he's only there.
There
when they refer to him, and then it cuts, like, the frame grows again, and he's back in it. But, oh, my God, does it hurt. It hurts my feelings. Because he's trying to be supportive so hard. And, like, he genuinely, like, when I did watch this movie, because I just watched it for the first time, I thought that it was going to be, like, how he said in like the one scene, like he's like, yeah, I'm like the evil American husband who's stealing you away from someone from your true culture,
right?
And like, yeah, like I like laughed at that scene because I was like, oh, like they're calling out the audience,
right?
Like this is what I thought was gonna happen.
Yes. Yes.
And it's just I like they're fully turning it around on me and being like, haha, you're dumb, you thought this would happen. But like he is so supportive the entire movie.
Yeah, he's trying so hard.
And he loves her so much. And she loves him so much.
Yes. Yeah. It's, God, and I think it's also just, like, there are just different kinds of love and different kinds of, like, relationships that you have with people, and not one is ever going to be the same.
Yeah.
And, like, just because she has, like, she obviously has love for, like, I'm forgetting his name. The childhood best friend.
Oh, Hyesung.
Hyesung. She obviously has love for him. But that's a different kind of love than she has for her husband. And, like, that's okay. But it's also, like, kind of, like, bittersweet to acknowledge this, like, different kind of, like, feeling that you have for people.
Yeah, and, like, I think, like, having, like, a one true love can be true. But also, like, what... Like, I'm getting in my feelings about all the layers. Because I was going to bring up the Inyeon, and it makes me upset.
Let's talk about it. Because let's actually talk about it. So, for those who don't know, Inyeon is, like, a Korean concept that suggests that the connection between two people in this, like, present life is tied to their interactions in other lives.
In past lives, if you will.
And that, like, this connection doesn't have to be, like, oh, we're friends and we've like, it can be as much as, like, you have cross paths on the street. Like, it's... And it's, like, maybe you're just crossing paths in this life, but, like, maybe you spent your entire life together in a past life. And you like it's still there, but it's not there right now, but it was there and it could be there in the next life. There
in the next life. It's so beautiful.
It really is. And I love it.
And it, like, the name of the film means so much because it could just be like, oh, like the past lives, like the concept of Yin Yang, like, but like she truly, like, she does have past lives in this present life. Like, yeah. She moves from Korea to Canada. Yeah. She moves from Canada to New York.
Yeah.
She changes her name. Haesung couldn't find her for a very long time because mm-hmm. he didn't even know she changed her name.
Yeah.
Like that. And she says at the end, like, that little girl is still alive, and I left her with you in Korea. Like that ruined my life, actually. That ruined my life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot. I mean, I don't know if we want to get into the end scene now, because we just brought it up, but I did, like, I do have, like, the actual script that I want to read at some point, because it's so, I think it's so much.
It is. But before we get into that, do we want to talk about just, like, broader favorite parts?
Let's do that.
What's yours?
Well, I was going to say my favorite part is just, like, the entire concept of Yin Yang, which I feel like we've talked about, and that whole scene at the bar, I think is the scene that, like, really gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, and when he's like, we're sitting next to each other on the train, and it's just because our tickets are assigned to us.
Yeah.
Like that. God. Like, oh, it's so beautiful and so, like, touching.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much love in everything that they say to each other.
Yeah.
They never say I love you to each other the entire movie. Mm-mm. And I think that's so important because they say it in a million other ways.
Yes.
But they never actually have to say the words.
Yeah, because they don't, like, really need to. It's just understood.
It's just understood. My favorite part is, one of my favorite parts is the scene where they're in bed together, mm-hmm. Arthur and Nora, and he's like, did you know that you only sleep talking Korean?
Mm-hmm. And she's like, no.
No, that's crazy.
Bye.
And he's like, no, like you only sleep talking Korean, and it's really beautiful, but it makes me sad because I feel like I can't access an entire part of you.
Yeah. Ugh, he says, and I quote, you dream in a language that I can't understand. There's a whole place inside of you where I can't go.
It killed me. Because he is so, like, he's trying so hard. So he's hard. Learning Korean for her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But still, like, it all comes back to, like, her identity and, like, this journey that she's gone through in her life. And, like,
mm-hmm.
and it's true. Like, there are parts of people that you are never going to truly understand because as much as you want to and you love them and you want to, like, get them, you can't because you're not in their head. And, like, especially in this situation, like, their lives have been so different and they're together now, but, like, they had such different childhoods. Yeah. And, like, he's never going to understand what it feels like to immigrate from Korea. Like, he just won't, like, that's not something he's ever going to understand or really understand her life before coming to America. And, like,
right,
it's so interesting.
It's so beautiful. He is such an interesting character to me. I kept expecting, well, before he called me out in that scene, I kept expecting him to be evil.
I was like, this is a villain.
He was so sweet and nice, and I love him. And he is baby girl.
Yeah.
I hate calling men baby girl because men hate when I call men baby girl, but he's so baby girl.
They're fine.
They'll live, I think.
They'll live, yeah. Also, just, like, the end when they just, like, sit outside on the stoop.
Oh, and she starts crying to him.
Yeah.
And he was waiting for her because he knew that she'd be upset. Yeah. I can't stand them. They're so in love.
It's a lot.
Like, I love them so much that, like, when they're like, yeah, we're married, in, like, the scene, they're coming back from Canada.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're married. I was like, good. I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to root for this, but I am.
Congratulations.
And like, that scene, like, they're in bed. I keep talking about the scene where they're in bed. It's really my favorite scene in the whole movie. they're, like, just talking together, living together. And, like, I just love their dynamics so much. So I was like, I hope that they don't break up for the plot of this movie.
Yeah.
Because I love them, and they love each other.
And I think, like, had they broken up, like, I don't think the movie would be as impactful as it was
at all. I think it is way more impactful because they are together. And because that they are meant to be together, and they're going to stay together.
Right.
And she shouldn't be with Hyesung in this life.
No. And that's, like, the whole point of, like, despite the fact that we have this meaningful connection, like, it doesn't make sense for this present moment.
Yeah.
And that, like, the acceptance of that, although it's sad, like, it's also okay.
Yeah. Yes.
God.
God.
Okay, I want to read from the script now, because this scene is just... So this is when he's leaving, and he's, like, getting his Uber. And he's like, okay, the Uber is going to be here in 2 minutes. This is, like, the action.
Yeah.
And it says, beat. Heavy silence falls between them. It's just the two of them in the street. This really should be 2 minutes of silence. It should be excruciating and long and actually 2 minutes. The Uber pulls up. Hyesung and Nora hug each other goodbye. Hyesung, in a trance, walks towards the Uber. He opens the car door, but then does not get inside. Hyesung turns and looks at Nora. He doesn't move. He blurts out. He says this in Korean. Hey. As though that hey is a magical spell, it transforms the space the two of them exist in. It transports them through time to the long-lost past. And for a moment, there's a glitch in the matrix. We get a glimpse through a portal. We
that
see
killed
a mirage.
Me, by the way.
Yep, dead.
That killed me.
Or rather, the long-lost path is transposed onto now, East Village, 5 a.m. in the morning. Nora, in her 30s, saying goodbye to Hyesung in his 30s, transforms to POV of 12-year-old Na Young saying goodbye to 12-year-old Hyesung. The memory flickers on like a fluorescent light that is about to go out. And then it's like them as kids. And then, but while they said goodbye back in Korea in the afternoon after school all those years ago, at this moment they magically stand in the soft glow of a very late night. It's as though these kids have been waiting here in this exact spot for 24 years.
Oh.
And it's only now that they've been able to truly say goodbye.
That's wild.
That's crazy to me. Like, that is like a script. Like, that is how you write. And, like, what's wild is, like, those words are beautiful. We do not hear those words.
Yeah.
But we, like,
we see them.
It was done so well. Like, I felt every moment of that.
Yeah.
Like, the same feelings I get from reading what she wrote.
Yeah.
We get in those moments of, like, literal silence.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
The two minutes of excruciating silence was excruciating, by the way.
Yes, it was. It's true.
I was like, say something, please. Please say something. And they're just, like, breathing and looking at each other.
Yes.
Because they're like... This will be the last time I see you in, I don't even know how long.
Yeah.
Like, it could be another 12 years. It could be ever, like.
Yeah. And I feel like as much as the dialogue in this movie is so strong, but, like, also the beats of silence are so strong. Like,
yeah.
We talked about how, like, they never say I love you. And as much as it's spoken, it's also so much of the unspoken.
Yes.
In this movie, which is so important. And, like. So, like, I feel like hard to do, to, like, really capture these, like, thought-provoking moments just in quiet.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
Before we started recording, Haley brought to my attention that I have been forgetting my letterbox segment. What? Literally, what? I'm
terrible.
Literally, this has been my podcast for now four semesters. Shout out Sydney, who brought me on my sophomore year.
Uh-huh.
If you're listening to
shout
this,
out.
Sydney, I love you. Hope you're doing well in LA. We forgot to do the Letterboxd portion. What did you rate this on Letterboxd?
First of all, I watched this on July 18th last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my original review from when I watched it for the first time. I gave it 4.5 stars, which is a lot for me.
That is a lot for you.
I usually don't do 5 unless I'm like, this is my new favorite movie.
Yeah.
So this was a lot. And then I hearted it. And I said, a sit through the credits and think about what you just watched kind of film.
So true. I did, in fact, sit through the credits
yes.
and think about what I just watched.
Yes.
I rated it a 4.
Nice.
Because for me, 4.5 is new favorite movie, and five is I love this movie so much, I will talk about it forever. Okay. This is my favorite movie.
Okay. Yeah. 4.5 earns a spot on my, like, I have, like, a I will recommend you this movie list.
Yeah.
4.5 gets you onto that list. Yes. This movie is on a I would recommend this to anyone list.
Oh, I would recommend this to absolutely anyone and everyone.
Yeah, I think everyone should watch this.
I agree. And I think everyone should read the script for this.
Yes. It's available online.
It's available online.
So just look it up.
Look it up. It's free. Is it free?
Yeah.
It's free.
It's on Deadline.
Let's go. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, one last thing, though.
Oh, I lied.
We had to just talk about how this movie was snubbed at the Oscars real quick.
We didn't even talk about that! It was snubbed at the Oscars.
It was literally so snubbed. It got nominated for Best Picture and Best Original Screenplay and didn't win either of them.
And didn't even get nominated for Best Director for Celine. Because they hate to see a woman, specifically a woman of color, mm-hmm. be nominated for Best Director.
It's really hard for them.
They hate that. Yeah. They really hate that.
It really just doesn't
and
work.
And for why? Because this was, like, such a beautifully directed and beautifully shot. And
yes.
And it won nothing. It won nothing.
And it was also her debut.
It was her debut. So impressive. Greta Lee was amazing. Yes. Greta Lee got nothing.
Yeah.
Greta Lee was not nominated.
God.
Because they, once again, hate to see women of color winning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate every major awards, thing. Yeah. Well, except the Emmys. Please give me an Emmy in the future, please.
Well, this movie won in our hearts.
True. It won Best Picture in our hearts.
True.
I think it definitely, it was hard because it was a hard year. It was the Oppenheimer year.
Yeah, true.
But, like, I hate Oppenheimer and I haven't even seen it and I won't watch it. So don't even tell me to watch it.
Yeah, don't.
That and Clerks. Don't tell me to watch either of those. All right. Now that's all the time we have for today. Mm-hmm. Tune in next week for another special episode of a special movie made by a special woman.
Yes. This is true.
Tune in to hear what that is.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Check out theIthican.org for more interesting and creative content. You can listen to any of the Ithican podcasts wherever you get your podcasts, or you can check us out at theIthican.org.